Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. 2017 seems to be the year of the operation. Here's a story from the days of old-time radio called Let Me Tell You About My Operation.
American Radio Theater presents a recreation from Columbia Workshop called Let Me Tell You About My Operation.
That's how it started. I was back in the stockroom tallying a new shipment of toys when things started to come off the shelves. A 10-pound ledger cracked down across my forearm, and I looked around for a nice place to faint.
Oh, that big book fell on him.
What happened,
Jim?
Get the boss.
Mr. K.
When I came around, the boss was bathing my forehead with dabs from a bottle of our 19-cent Eau de Tout Le Monde. About a half dozen of the girls were crowded in the doorway to the stockroom, bugging their eyes out at me. I was lying on the floor, and my arm felt, well, it felt exactly as if it had been hit by a 10-pound ledger with the accumulated venom of a 12-foot momentum. They started to prop me up on my feet, the boss and one of the stock boys, when Priscilla busted through the girls at the doorway and...
Oh, George, never move an injured person until an ambulance or an accredited physician arrives. Lay him down immediately.
I guess they meant to put me down gently, but Priscilla is a very forceful girl, and she sort of batted me out of their arms. I fell with a clatter and passed out again. When I came out of it this time, Priscilla had taken over. She looked so wonderful that I watched her for a minute, enjoying her, you know, before I let on and I was awake. Ah, Priscilla was classy. The real thing. Authentic. Absolutely. That's what made me fall in love with her. The first time I saw her, behind the hardware counter, selling brads to a carpenter's helper. She sold them one by one and handled each individual nail as if it was a work of art. It isn't the most effective way known to move merchandise, but you don't think of things like that with Priscilla. Even while she was trying to be a five-and-dime salesgirl, she managed to be something else, too. Poetry. A kind of fresh spirit. So I was smiling when I opened my eyes. Priscilla put a little of that cologne in them and said,
George, are you hurt badly? Are you in pain?
I'm all right, Priscilla.
You're just being brave. I admire you for that, but I know you must be suffering. Where are you hurt? You must tell me.
My arm, but I don't...
It must be broken. That's the least that it could be the matter with it.
Oh, no, Priscilla, nothing like that. It's just a bump.
His arm is broken, Mr. K. We have to get him to the hospital.
It's just a little numb.
He's being stoical, Mr. K. Don't listen to him. Please call an ambulance and get him to a hospital.
Is it really bad, George?
I don't think it's broken.
Maybe you ought to see a doctor.
It is broken.
Think you can get up, George?
Sure, I'm okay. Now, just let me get up here.
Taxi! Taxi!
Get in, George. Here, lean on me.
I'm not crippled. I can get in myself.
Be sure to phone us the minute you're through with the doctor.
I'll call Dr. Newman the minute you're gone and let him know you're on the way. And don't worry, kid. It's all covered by workman's compensation.
Mr. K, how can you be so crass? Do you think George is even the slightest bit concerned about money when his very existence is endangered? I'm going along with him.
Listen, you still work for me. You get back into that store and start selling hardware, or I'll forget that George is the best assistant I ever had, and I'll fire you even if it means that I've got to lose him, too.
You listen to me, Mr. K. I may be your employee
and... Go ahead, driver. Now, Miss Logic, you have exactly 30 seconds to get inside that store and start.
Hello, George. Little trouble, eh, kid? Well, we'll take care of that for you. Never mind taking your coat off, George. Just lay your arm on the table here.
You don't want me to take my coat off?
No, I'll take care of that. Now, where's that shears? Ah, here we are. Now, let's take a look at it.
What's the shears for, Doc?
Cut the coat sleeve.
Oh, I can take it off, Doctor.
No, we'll just run the shears up the sleeve.
I can take it off. I put it on without any trouble.
Steady,
before.
Old man. Now the shirt sleeve. Yes. I see.
What is it, Doc?
Don't know yet. That hurt?
Yes.
Might be a fracture. That hurts?
Yes.
Might be dislocation. This hurt?
Yes.
Could be a pulled tendon or a sprain. Needs an x-ray. I can't tell authoritatively what's wrong exactly, so I'll tell you what you do. Take this card and go down to the General Relief Hospital over on 2nd Avenue. I'm sending you to see Dr. Vascom. No point taking any chances on this kind of injury. He's the biggest guy in town for these things. He'll fix you up. Here, slip back into this jacket. I'll pin up that sleeve. There. Don't worry about it, son. You'll get my bill next week.
It was a nice day, and the arm had stopped hurting badly, so I thought I'd walk over to the hospital. But first I called the boss and told him I was going...
over to the hospital, and I'll probably be an hour or two longer.
Take 2.5. Get all fixed up, so you can be back on the job soon. You know I was counting on starting inventory.
Don't worry, I'll be back in the store long before closing.
Fine. Listen, George, do you want to do me a favor and yourself one at the same time? Talk to your girlfriend and calm her down a bit. I've got my hands full with her.
You just don't quite understand her, boss. She's a very high-spirited girl. She's not like the other girls.
You're absolutely right. Listen, all I know is that she's a small revolution and...
put her on, boss. I'll reason with her.
You better, or she won't be working here when you get back. I've got enough trouble here without trying to run a finishing school.
Now, boss.
Hello, darling. Where are you? Are you all right?
Sure, I'm okay. As soon as I get an x-ray taken, I'll be back to the store.
You'll do no such thing. You've had a terrible shock. And you must rest, remain quiet, build back some strength.
Well, that's not necessary, dear. It's just a scratch or a bump. Priscilla, can't you make an effort to act nice and, you know, be polite toward Mr. K? I know he doesn't realize how sensitive you are and all.
Indeed. I have been deluded myself that at least you realized what an ordinary bore Mr. K is.
Priscilla, please, don't let him hear you talking like this.
But I see now I've been mistaken. You are absolutely without a soul. Goodbye, Mr. Franklin.
Oh. By the time I got to the hospital, I was feeling terrible. I went up the steps and into the reception room and handed Dr. Newman's card to the girl at the desk. She told me to wait, and I sat down on a covered bench. I thought over Priscilla's words and decided that she had talked to me like that only because she was concerned about me. People do things like that. Well, it wouldn't be so hard to patch up. I would make a humble apology. I knew she wouldn't. And maybe buy a pair of tickets to the ballet. Priscilla had been after me for a long time to go to the ballet. Well, I would even do that for atonement, and watch the leaping gazelles and take my punishment like a little man. It was a small thing for a wonderful girl like Priscilla. I began to feel a lot better. My arm was only a little bit sore, and my heart was warm again. I began to notice things around me.
Mr. Franklin? Mr. Franklin? Mr. George Franklin?
Yes, here I am. I'm George Franklin.
I'm Nurse Sullivan.
Glad to meet you.
You've come for treatment by Dr. Vascom. Follow me, please. You are to submit to the routine questions. Name, address, occupation.
George Franklin. 684 West 78th Street. Assistant manager of K's 5, 10, 25, 50, $1 and up store.
Have you ever been operated upon, Mr. Franklin?
Never.
Never?
Nope. Honest, I've never had an operation, Miss...
Very well. Family?
Just my mother. She lives in Columbus, Ohio, 52 Palm Street.
Whom do you wish notified in the event of grave illness or death?
I don't intend to die or be gravely ill. I just came here to get an x-ray. People don't die from X-rays. They don't even get hurt. It's nothing at all, just like any kind of ray.
Whom do you wish notified in the event of grave illness or...
I see. You've got to have it for the records anyway. A formality, isn't it? Everybody has to. Well, Miss Priscilla Clark. She lives at the YWCA on Lexington Avenue.
What relation is this person?
She's my fiancée, I hope.
That is all. Will you come with me, please?
That Sullivan was a hard-eye person. You did what she said. We went out to an elevator and took it up to the fourth floor. At the end of a long corridor full of that antiseptic smell, she pushed open a white swinging door. Ward K was lettered on it. There were 10 beds in the room, and 5 of them were filled with people who looked as if they didn't care anymore what happened to them.
Mr. Franklin, that bed in the corner will be yours.
What? Oh, no, it won't, ma'am.
Mr. Franklin, you are a very sick man. You are in our care now. You will please do as you are told. We do not tolerate disobedience from our patients.
I didn't come here to lie in bed. Now, all I want is an X-ray.
You will please get into that bed.
I stood there shaking my head. Then I guess I got scared of the look on her face, and I raised my voice. Not shouting, mind you, but my voice was raised a little. The dying occupants of all the other beds sat up and stared at me. Sullivan went to the wall and pressed a button. Then she went to a cabinet and came back with a pair of pajamas and a bathrobe.
I've called for Miss Loring, the supervisor.
Oh, that Miss Loring. I could see what a reputation she had. The minute she came in, the patients in the other beds laid down and played dead. This Miss Loring, she reminded me of one of those composite photographs you see in the papers. You know, one woman's nose, another one's mouth, another one's hair. Miss Loring was a combination of the three witches who put the hex on Macbeth, the old maid who looks hopefully under her bed in the magazine cartoons, and Adolf Hitler. Sullivan told her briefly what a heel I was being, and then she came toward me.
Mr. Franklin, according to the rules of hospital, you must take to bed while waiting for Dr. Bascom.
But I don't think I'm going to...
Mr. Franklin, no nonsense now. We'll stand for no tricks, young man. Get into these pajamas immediately.
What could I do? Sullivan wheeled a screen in front of the bed and gave me a shove behind it. The window was open, but it was 4 stories down, and it wasn't me who was crazy. I got undressed, put on the pajamas, and got into bed. Sullivan wheeled the screen away, and Miss Loring gave me a final dirty look and left the ward. Then Sullivan came at me with a thermometer in her hand.
Please say ah.
I don't want any thermometer. The funny thing is, my arm had stopped hurting, and I felt fine. The bed wasn't so comfortable, but the sunshine coming through the window was nice. I looked at my wristwatch and saw that it was close to 3 o'clock. From the way it looked, the chances were that even if Dr. Vascom did show up in a few minutes, I wouldn't be released in time to get back to the store before closing. I decided not to call Priscilla again. I didn't want her to worry about me too much. So I relaxed until the swinging doors opened and the doctor came in. I waved to him and he came over. Say, are you Dr. Vascom?
No, I'm just an intern. A senior on this service, though. The big shot won't be around for a couple of hours. What's the matter with you, buddy?
Arm.
Arm, eh? Let's see.
Ow! Okay.
Ooh, hurts a bit, huh? I see. What that arm needs is a bandage. That'll fix it up fine.
He dug up a roll of gauze bandage and began to wind it around my arm. When he had gotten about 5 yards of it on, he went to look for a scissor to cut the end of the gauze. I never saw him again in my life. While I was waiting for him to come back, Sullivan came in again and shoved the thermometer down my throat. She saw the ends of the bandage, and she unwrapped it.
If you let any other strange intern touch you, I promise you I'll tell Miss Loring.
Won't you please tell me when Dr. Vascom is going to be here? I want to get out of here sometime today.
Today, indeed. You'll be a very lucky man if you're discharged within a month.
Don't ask me what I thought. I tried not to think. I sat up in bed when I got my strength back and occupied myself by trying to guess at the ailments of the occupants of the other beds and trying to figure their life expectancy in seconds. The man in the bed next to mine lay still, never moving, and only seldom breathing. His complexion was yellow, and he kept his face screwed up in a permanent grimace of terror. As a matter of fact, that kind of look was like a uniform with everybody in the ward. I began to wonder if I looked like that, too. But before I could feel too bad about it, Priscilla banged into the ward and made for me. She went down on her knees at the bedside.
Oh, George, darling, I'm so sorry. Will you ever forgive me?
Oh, sure, honey, I forgive you.
But I was so rude, so unfeeling. I wouldn't blame you if you never spoke to me again. You do forgive me, George?
Well, of course I do, honey. There's nothing to forgive.
I was so mean.
It was all my fault. I shouldn't have spoken to you the way I did.
Darling, you mustn't talk so much. You have to conserve your strength. You are very, very sick.
I'm not sick, Priscilla. No kidding. I feel swell. I could get up right now, go back to the store, and put in a good night's work with overtime.
You're so courageous, darling. But you mustn't try to deceive me. I know everything. The nurse told me.
Oh, she did she? The little hatchet-faced one? Don't worry about her. She's a little screwy. Tell me about it. What did she say? When am I supposed to pass to the great beyond?
Oh, darling, you mustn't. Don't joke about it. Don't even mention it.
Mention what?
Don't think of it. You have to make up your mind that you're going to live. You must fight. You must come through. If you have the will, you'll be better in no time at all. A month, 2 months.
Priscilla, for you, I'll fight to the last breath. I won't give up. For you, darling.
Yes, yes. For me, George, for me.
No, I can't. I have nothing to live for.
But you have me, George, dear. I love you, George.
It's getting dark. Dark. Where are you, Priscilla?
Here I am. Here's my hand. I'm on your side. Speak to me.
Too late. Too late.
Oh, you mustn't die, George. You mustn't. You can't. You can't.
Ah, let him die if he wants to, lady. Let us all die. That's what we're here for. But let us die in peace. Shut up, lady.
Be quiet, you green brute. You must live for me, George. If you die, I'll die too.
You really mean that? You're not kidding.
Yes, darling, I do love you. I've been harsh with you, treated you meanly, but now I never will again as long as I live. As long as you live.
I die now in peace.
Darling!
Priscilla, will you marry me?
Of course I will, darling. It's what I want. As soon as you get well.
Too late. It must be now. Today. It will give me new strength. Or I can die happy if the necessity arises.
But, George...
It's getting dark again, Priscilla. Dark.
Don't, George. Please. I'll marry you. I'll...
Hooray! She said she'll marry me. I'm getting up.
George, you mustn't. Don't, George. Lie down. Nurse! Help me, nurse!
What's going on in here?
Help me, nurse. He's trying to get up. George, lie down. Lie down, George.
Let me out.
Get
George.
Use the half Nelson, Sullivan.
Lie down.
Hey, Mr. Franklin, if you give us any more trouble, I shall be forced to have you put into a straitjacket. If you insist on this behavior, the hospital can take no responsibility for your condition or eventual recovery.
Sullivan, run out and get a marriage license and a minister. I'm going to get married before I die.
That's what you think. See that you behave yourself.
Priscilla, get the minister. Hurry. You can't tell how much longer I've got.
It's too late for either a minister or a license. We'll get married tomorrow. After work.
Tomorrow? After work? I may be dead by then. Mr. K will give you the day off if you explain. Just tell him you're going to marry me before I die.
No, George. I see things differently now. About the store and all that. Tomorrow's Saturday. We'll be busy, and I mustn't let Mr. K down. I have to show him that the esprit de corps of hardware is hardly less than that of ladies' underthings. I shall be the model sales lady for you. As you always wanted me to be, it will be my wedding present to you. I'll be here directly after work. Be brave, my darling.
I guess I fell asleep, and when I woke up, it was quiet and dark. A nurse was bending over the little table at the side of my bed. A light went on, and for a minute I thought she was Priscilla. She had nice hair, and she wore that starched white uniform like a movie queen.
I'm Rogers, the night nurse. Is there anything I can get you?
Priscilla, get me Priscilla.
Priscilla?
The ward doors opened, and a man dressed in a business suit came in. He was a big, stocky man with an important swing to his shoulders. He looked around him like a patroon searching for a bell cord, and Rogers hurried over to him. He said something to her, and she went out. He bent over one of the other beds, and when he stood up, I leaned forward and... Excuse me, are you Dr. Vascom? Dr. Vascom?
What is it?
Dr. Vascom, I think it's a shame. Dr. Newman sent me, and I've been here since early this afternoon.
What is your name?
Franklin. Now, Dr. Newman sent me here...
Ah, Franklin. How do you do, Mr. Franklin? Glad to see you, my boy.
Ow!
Good night.
After he shook my hand, the bum one, he went out. A little bit later, Rogers, the night nurse, came back. She sat down on a small chair near my bed and took a blank form out of a drawer in the table.
I gotta ask you a few form questions, Mr. Franklin. First, have you ever been operated on before?
They woke me up at 6 a.m. Sullivan was back again and started the day off right by sticking the thermometer in my mouth.
When is Dr. Vascom going to be here?
In good time.
Don't I get anything to eat but glass?
To eat? We do not give patients anything to eat before an operation. We cleanse the body. I'll take that thermometer now, if you please.
It was the last straw. What I had been suspicious of all along was now a cold fact. I was in some kind of crazy house. I broke into a sweat, and my whole life passed in review before me. When I could think again, I looked around. Sullivan was ministering to one of the cadavers in another bed who had managed somehow to live through the night. When I called her, she looked around. Sullivan! Sullivan, I want to get out of this joint! Get me my clothes! She just sneered and turned her back on me. I had to get out. The only avenue of escape was the ward doors. I slipped out of bed and streaked for the door.
Mr. Franklin, come back here. Mr. Franklin.
Ah, Mr. Franklin. Put him back into bed, boys.
All right, get over here.
That's my luck all the time. I ran smack into the arms of Miss Loring, who was flanked by a couple of orderlies who looked like orangutans. The orangutans picked me up and carried me back to the bed. They threw me into it.
Just try to move, louse, and I'll bust you right in the nose.
I made my peace with God. In about 10 minutes, the orangutans came back wheeling a stretcher. They threw me on it and began to wheel me out. Before we passed through the door, I heard Sullivan at the wall phone.
Hello, operating room. Are you prepared for the appendectomy? We're bringing him right up.
They stuck a needle into me. And after that, I didn't care much about anything. The orangutans wheeled me out into the corridor, and then they took me up in the elevator. In the anesthesia room, just next to the operating room, I thought I could catch a glimpse of Dr. Vascom. He was dressed in white, and he was honing a big jackknife on the heel of his shoe. Then they placed the ether cone over my face, and I began to inhale. I woke up back in bed in the ward. I felt a little bit queasy from the ether, but otherwise I felt in one piece. No pain, no weakness, kind of rested. Sullivan was standing beside the bed with a bundle in her hand.
Here are your clothes, Mr. Franklin. You're discharged. You may leave any time you feel well enough.
Leave? How the devil can I leave after just having my appendix removed? Removed? I mean stolen.
Oh, that. I'm sorry, Mr. Franklin. That was a mistake.
Just a little slip.
Fortunately, the mistake was rectified in time. We didn't remove your appendix. We mistook yours for another case. I'm sorry.
So that's it. I thought I was in a lunatic. Tell me, did Dr. Vascom fix up my arm? Did he do it after they put me to sleep?
The anesthetizing was part of the mistake. They just took an X-ray of the arm while you were under ether. As soon as Dr. Vascom has studied the X-ray film, you will hear from him.
It was only 11 o'clock by the time I reached the store. Business was brisk. I pushed back through the crowd to the hardware counter. Priscilla was an amazing picture of industry. She was working fast and efficiently and treating the customers almost as if they were her equals. I hissed at her to catch her attention. Priscilla! Priscilla! She didn't hear me, so I moved up to the counter. She had her back turned. And she turned around and...
What can I do for you, sir? George! George, what are you doing here?
It was just...
I know, you escaped, but you shouldn't have, darling.
Shh, easy. These people want them to think I'm an escaped lunatic.
But how?
They discharged me. It was all a mistake. They had me mixed up with somebody else.
Oh, I'm so glad, darling. I'm so glad you're not going to die.
It's all over now, honey. Have you got the license?
Yes, darling, but...
Then let's go and use it. Get out from behind that counter. Come on.
Hey, what's going on here? Oh, hello, George. Get back to work, Priscilla. George, what's the idea of coming into work 2.5 hours late?
Well, that's a nice way to talk. I just got out of the hospital.
Oh, that's right. All better?
I'm all right.
Good. We can get to that inventory.
Not right now. First, I'm going to take Priscilla out and marry her before she changes her mind.
You can't do... Are you crazy? There's a store full of customers. It's Saturday, our busy day. You can't take time off for any nonsense. I need you here. You, Priscilla, it's all your fault. You've finally driven him nuts.
Mr. K, you're talking to the woman I'm going to marry.
Oh, excuse me. Say, listen, George, you're not going to let her work after you're married, are you?
Of course not. No wife of mine is going to work.
Of course not. Priscilla, George, bless you, my children. Go ahead, go get married, and you don't have to come back until Monday. I mean you, George. Well, good luck and everything.
There's something peculiar about that man, George. Did you notice how quickly he changed his mind? What on earth made him suddenly become so sweet?
Hello, George Franklin? This is Morrow, Victory Insurance Company. We handle your compensation claims.
What can I do for you, Mr. Morrow?
You can tell me what the reason is for this bill from the General Relief Hospital for $50. $50 for a sore arm. What's the idea? I want to know.
You'll never know. I'll never know either. So they sent a bill for $50, and that isn't everything. Dr. Vascom still hasn't sent his bill, and that's going to be a honey.
Well, be thankful you're still alive and married to a lovely girl, a lovely housewife.
You're not kidding, boss.
Anyway, you're through with that bunch at the hospital. There's nothing more they can do to you.
Which one's Mr. Franklin?
Here, that's me.
Package from General Relief Hospital. Sign here.
Okay. This must be those X-ray pictures they took. Here you are, kid.
Gee, thanks.
Ah, there they are. Pictures.
Hold them up against the light. That's it. Hey, it looks swell. You've got to admit, they did a fine job. Not a thing looks wrong with that arm.
There's not. There never was. They X-rayed the wrong arm.
Thank you.
American Radio Theater has brought you a recreation of Let Me Tell You About My Operation, produced and directed by Joy Jackson. In our cast, you heard Greg Porter as George, Kay Lutz as Priscilla, Joy Jackson as the messenger, Dave Leese as Dr. Newman, Ken Leese as Dr. Vascom, Marge Lutton as Nurse Loring, Melinda Mays as Nurse Rogers, Pat McNally as the intern, Liz Roach as Nurse Sullivan, Dan Schindler was Morrow, Harry Thiel, he was the patient, Kim Turner as Mr. K. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg and Dan Schindler. I'm Moki O'Reilly, your announcer, who you also heard as the orderly. Let Me Tell You About My Operation was written by Morton Friedgood. It was originally heard on the Columbia Workshop July 10th, 1942, although that recording is no longer with us. And this is ART, the American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to some music from the days of old-time radio.
Presenting the piano and orchestra of Griff Williams. That's the famous theme for your invitation to come dancing with us in the beautiful Empire Room of the Palmer House, the center of things in the center of the city of Chicago, where Griff Williams and his famous orchestra played nicely before a gay and enthusiastic crowd. Vocals tonight by Bob Kirk and Walt King. First off, tell us all about number one. Here's our maestro, Griff Williams himself.
Thank you, Harry Burge, and greetings and good evening, everyone. Will you listen, and perhaps you'll join us in a dance as we play I Haven't Got a Worry in the World.
Griff Williams' medley in the musical manner, the anniversary song, the anniversary waltz.
Just a moment to remind you, this is the music of Griff Williams, his piano and his orchestra, coming to you from the Empire Room of the Palmer House, in the center of things, in the center of the city of Chicago. Gotta Get Me Somebody to Love, subject matter of the vocal by Bob Kirk.
So long, oh so long on the prairie. Gotta get me somebody to love. Gotta find one who's kind and not contrary. One who'll ride by my side hand in glove. I got my heart. Got a silver saddle, but there's one thing I keep thinking of. Nights are long, oh so long on the prairie. Gotta get me somebody to love. So long, oh, so long on the prairie. I gotta get me somebody to love. See how that moon shines so bright above. I gotta get me somebody to love.
How Do You Fall in Love? This time by vocalist Walt King.
Outside and then she, you just fall. It just happens to happen, that's all. You throw in some stars and moonlight, they might enhance the scene. There's really not an answer, and I can't say what I mean. How do you fall in love? Well, you kiss a girl, and then she, you just love. It just happens to happen, that's all. See, there's really not an answer, and I can't say what I mean. How do you fall in love? Well, you kiss a girl, and then she, you just fall. It just happens to happen. That's all. That's all.
Again, it's medley music with First Pretending. Time comes down on this program of fine dance music by Griff Williams and his orchestra, playing in the sedately beautiful atmosphere of the Empire Room of the Palmer House, located on the very heart of Chicago's famous State Street. Vocals tonight by Bob Kirk, Walt King, Harry Bird speaking. We return you now to our studios. This is WGN Chicago, serving the Middle West. Single tone beat in 5 seconds indicates midnight, and we take you to the pump room of the Ambassador Hotel. Ladies and gentlemen, from the Astor Roof, high up over Times Square, in New York City, we bring you Alvin O'Ray, his singing guitar and his orchestra. Starting off with Cement Mixer, Rocky Coluccio singing.
Cement Mixer. The booty, the scooty, the goody.
Cement mixer, putty, putty. Cement mixer, putty, putty. Cement mixer, putty, putty.
Puddly feet, concrete. First, you get some gravel. Pour it in the bowl. You mix a mess of mortar. You add some ant water. The Melaroon, you come out. Slurp, slurp, slurp.
Cement mixer, putty, putty. Cement mixer, putty, putty. Cement mixer, putty, putty.
Who wants a bucket of cement? Bucket of cement.
Yes, that was Rocky Coluccio singing Cement Mix, but now comes the Pulchritude. Joanne Ryan to sing Adventure.
So darling,
let's make it last forever. Let's hold it fast forever. Our first and last adventure. Make it last forever. Let's hold it fast forever. Our first and last adventure. Our first and last adventure. And
this is Strictly Instrumental, featuring the singing guitar, the Bumble Boogie. Alvino Ray and his orchestra from the Astor Roof of the Hotel Astor in New York City. Here are the airliners now, quartet singing Cynthia's In Love.
See the love light in her eyes.
That's all the time I've got for today. Please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org, for more podcasts. We put up a new one every month. Hey, see you next time.